Don't miss a minute of Ruined Dits for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. Selvos and Scrap Hotline have joined forces for the winter warmer appeal. Donate blankets, coats or beanies to any of the 14 Scrap Hotline sites. Scraphotline.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M. Roo, what is making news around the place? Well, we can go very, very close to home for starters, just over to York Peninsula.
Yeah, there's a gunman on the loose over there. High-speed chase and the police trying to track him down. And
shots for fire. This is very frightening.
Doesn't usually happen in regional South Australia. Not very often at all, does it?
No, that's right. And you would have thought, and I'm not pointing the finger at police or anybody here, but you would think in a town like Wallaroo, easy to track down or easy to find, but he's proving elusive, this fellow. Let's hear from our Police Commissioner, Grant Stevens.
My understanding is there have been shots fired by the offender and by police officers. No police were injured, but given this person has evaded police, we're yet to have a proper assessment of whether or not that person's been injured. And I'd strongly encourage them not to approach the person, but to call police.
Was he at the pub, Grant Stevens? Very busy there in the background.
The showdown was on over there on Sunday, the Crows in Port, mate. Yeah.
No, but this is a serious topic. And look, Roo, when you hear that shots were fired by police, our police officers never use their guns.
No,
I mean, it is rare. They bring them out in extreme cases. So clearly this was a frightening situation.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll hear more about that. That's for sure. Yeah. Usain Bolt did. So this is big news. Almost like it's not April the 1st, is it?
No. Dare I say, it's a bolt out of the blue. There's been nothing even suggesting this might be happening.
How many gold medals does this bloke want?
Plenty. He's the fastest man on earth.
Yeah, exactly.
If you can get the ball to him,
good luck catching
him. You won't catch him.
You have to be offside.
Just park everyone behind the ball and get 10 blokes to stand in front of the goalkeeper because he's coming.
But they reckon he's going to play. Well, he's trying to play for Central Coast Mariners. That's the side, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's not...
Which is in New South Wales.
This is Fair Dinkum. This is Rigidig. He's going through a bit of a trial, bit of a hit out at the moment to see if he can cut the mustard.
Yeah.
And if so, he's going to play in the A-League next year. Mm. What sort of marketing would that be for the A-League? Mm. It'd be huge.
I reckon when you think about it, he'd be suited to rugby, sure. Just get the ball out to him wide and go. Just let him run.
Oh, I don't know if he can take a hit, Dits, but he can certainly get a few homers in between, or a few tries. Great news for the A-League.
It's a big story.
Could be huge.
Yep, very big story.
We'll find more about that today as well.
All right, now, expect airport security to be beefed up in the months to come. What's happened, Roo? I don't know if you ever think about this, but I was at an airport yesterday flying up here, as at Adelaide. And all of the crew seem to go down a different laneway to what you and I go through, don't they? They just get through
pretty security easy. Yeah, absolutely. They always do, don't they?
And but I would presume they still have to have their bags checked or whatever. But it turns out now that on many occasions they're sneaking through contraband. And in fact,
for their own use or for making money?
Well, when you say your own use, one Malaysian Airlines steward has been caught with $1.4 million of heroin. I don't know if that's for his own use.
I don't think he'd get off with personal use for that one.
I don't think so.
No matter how good a lawyer
he's got. Personal use for the next 50 years. Yeah. So he's been done. Jetstar have had staff sacked as well. Theirs wasn't as serious, but still trying to sneak in contraband. So they're on a flight in from Bali, and three of them strapped a ton of tobacco to their bodies.
A ton of tobacco?
I won't say a ton. I mean a lot of tobacco.
I was going to say three people. That's 333 kilos. Yeah.
No, I didn't mean that. I just meant a lot.
A lot.
So, yeah. But anyway, so they're going to have to crack down on.
This has been going around forever. Have you ever seen that? I think it's Johnny Depp, that movie called Blow, when he started importing cocaine from Mexico to America. That's what they were doing. All the hosties were running all the gear back in the 80s. That's how it all started over to Miami. So, I think it's been going on for a while, that one.
Okay.
While we're talking about criminal behaviour, they found 600,000 sort of cold and flu-like tablets in Bali that was headed for Australia in January. So these tablets, they can manufacture methamphetamine with.
So it wasn't for the flu season?
No. Right. It wasn't so they didn't have to put sick people in the Royal Adelaide Hospital. This was to manufacture drugs. So it was destined for Australia. So
South Australia,
yeah. So good work by the Bali police officers.
All right, that's what's making news. In a moment, Roo, we're going to head all the way to Helsinki in Finland. You know, the big summit is underway, and gee, the Americans have turned on Trump like you wouldn't believe. They've called him treasonous.
Why?
Because he's basically... He sided with Putin. He's standing there at the summit and saying Putin's a great guy and, you know, we should be helping each other. And the whole of it, the backlash, as I said, he's been called treasonous. I mean, that's the highest insult you can actually give a world leader.
Ruin tits for breakfast. Distinctive homes. Perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Let's talk about
Tex.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Have we suspended him for a week, or is he coming in this morning?
We don't have brutes on this show. Just play the ball, not the man, Tex. What are you doing trying to knock blokes out?
Sorry, I forgot our game wasn't a contact sport.
What were you doing? Giving him a little chin massage or something?
Yeah, he said his chin was a bit sore, so he said he wanted a little bit of a massage.
What, were you just revved up for the occasion? Because the boys were cracking in. That's the sort of football that Crow supporters want to see.
Yeah, I got a bit excited, Roo. So, lucky my family are down this weekend, so I can spend a bit of time with my family.
What, you're not going to Brisbane?
No, I don't think I'll be going.
Really? Okay.
I would have thought, I'm not being funny here, Tex, but as captain of the club, I would have thought, even if you're not playing, that you'd be there. So you're not given a role like that on game day?
Not at this stage. I'll probably, Pikey, if he wants me to go, he'll speak to me some stage this week. But currently speaking, Dits, I'm here in lovely, lovely Adelaide.
Now, you've caught 1 week. Some people think you should have got more. Some people think you should have got off. What about Bryce Gibbs' incident? We're hearing that he's contesting. So he obviously thinks he's done nothing at all. In the commentary, it looked like Joel Selwood had concussion. He stayed down. He had doctors and physios around him. And I was thinking to myself, gee, he doesn't stay down unless he's hurt, Joel. But with modern football, you're not allowed to fake or take a dive. This is a bit of a sticky situation, this one, isn't it?
I don't think, I reckon he'll get off.
Who? Gibbsy?
I think so.
What did Gibbsy think he did? Much or not? Obviously not, if he's contesting.
Not much at all, but we'll find out tonight. I won't say too much ahead of tonight, so I don't want to ruin his chances.
Don't do that.
Fair enough. But Tex, from where I've watched this so many times, and I keep scratching my head saying, what on earth did he do? And I'm going to make a prediction here. I reckon Joel Selwood might be in trouble.
What do you mean?
Well, just watch and see what happens.
What, you reckon the old reverse here?
I reckon put it this way, he should get fined.
If they find out that Gibbs did nothing, can they then reverse it around onto the...
You probably can't, but they bloody should. They should
make
a statement.
I wonder if they can.
They should make a stand.
Well, that's interesting.
You know where I'm heading with this or not?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't. Like, what are you saying, Dit?
So if he's actually faked it, if he has faked it, I wonder if they can report
him.
Well,
look, I don't know Bryce Gibbs like you two blokes do, but I trust him. I think I trust him enough to know he's not a dirty, malicious player. And he's fighting this, believing he's done nothing wrong, sure.
And Joel Selwood's a very respected player as well, so they're both in that camp. So this will be an interesting night at the tribunal tonight.
It will.
We'll have to wait and see. Hey, Tex, a lot of speculation about a few players might be back. I know they're saying Daniel Tarley is almost a given, but a lot of talk about Mitch McGovern perhaps coming back from that collision in the showdown where he twisted his ankle badly.
Yeah, it's he's been out for a while, Gov, so obviously he's got to get through main session this week. Tails is a good chance. Richie Douglas.
Is he a genuine chance, Dougie, or is he probably another week away?
No, he's a genuine chance, so but he'll have to get through his main session Wednesday.
Yeah.
And give himself every chance to play. Brodie Smith's not too far off, so we're starting to get
how far is Brodie Smith away? Because I'm pretty sure if a bloke's coming back from a knee reconstruction that some stage that week leading into it, the coach is going to come out and say he's putting his hand up for selection. Has that happened yet, or could that happen this week, or is another week away, do you think?
He's a good chance, Smithers, so we'll have to wait. We'll have to wait and see, Roo. Word travels slow up to the Gold Coast, doesn't it?
It does, especially when you're talking.
He's not giving us much, is he?
So he'd have to play SNFL, surely.
Yeah, you'd like to think so.
You would like to think so. Mm. How's the feeling within the group, though, Tex? Seriously, that game was much more aggressive and higher intensity and a lot more pressure on the opposition. The tackles inside 50 were absolutely brilliant. Young Murphy did a great job. Eddie Betts was back. And obviously to have Atkins back in good form into the side. And Riley Knight, he's an underrated player when he's fit and firing. He's important to the side.
Yeah, those guys that you just said then, they just come in and played their role really well. And I thought our ability to pressure the opposition, which was a cornerstone of our game, which we've been pretty inconsistent with this year, was outstanding on Thursday night. And so was our contest stuff. So if we can continue that over the next 5-6 weeks, I'm sure we'll give ourselves best chance to play finals.
All right, stay with us, Tex. He joins us thanks to Distinctive Homes. Tex, is your mum listening this morning?
Potentially.
Okay, all right. Well, in a moment, I've got a bit of an apology to make to Tex's mum. I'll get to that.
I beg your pardon.
You haven't offended Tex's mum, have you? Who don't you offend?
Oh, I didn't mean to.
Oh, you didn't mean to.
I didn't mean to. But
Ken Hinckley? Well,
I'll tell you the story.
Ken Hinckley.
I know. It's a fair list. Ruin Ditsy on Triple M with Tex Walker.
Ruin Ditsy for breakfast.
Tex!
On 104.7 Triple M.
That is just brilliant vintage Walker.
Because that's where the Rangers gonna be.
It's Tex Walker, Crows captain.
Distinctive Homes, perfect for your lifestyle. Our house, your home.
Oh, it's been a massive week for Tex Walker. Tex, did you buy the advertiser yesterday morning? Did you have a read?
Oh, I don't read the advertiser, Dix.
I know, yeah. No, oh, you've missed Kane Corns' article then.
I'm dead set spewing about that.
Oh, don't be like that. Have you had any feedback about the article he wrote yesterday, suggesting that maybe it was time for Rory to take over as captain?
No, I haven't had any feedback about that.
No?
No.
All right. But you haven't got any thoughts of stepping down, have you? You'll continue on as captain?
Until I get the tap on the shoulder from my teammates, yeah.
Righto. All right. Fair enough. Enough said. Now, Tex.
Need to make.
Are you a mummy's boy or what? Can you stand on your own 2 feet or?
I most certainly am.
You are a mummy's boy.
I love my mother. Yeah,
and no, and so you should. But that's a different story. So let's go back to the great job you did. What, about 2 weeks ago? We had the big charity lunch.
Yeah.
In honour of your mate Jake Borlase at Adelaide Oval.
Yeah.
And as I do, Roo, I praise Tex as much as I can. I was the MC, and I got Tex up on stage.
What did you praise him about?
About his ears.
Oh, same I joke, said,
new career. No. Well, it's not a joke. I've said something about Tex's ears as I got him up.
He can pick up Sky Channel.
On his ears, yeah, with his ears. Anyway, so I go and sit down. Next minute, this lady sidles up next to me. She goes, I don't appreciate you making fun of my son's ears. I went, what? Who are you? She goes, I'm Tex's mum. I said, oh, no, you've taken it the wrong way. I said, it was a positive. I was saying his hearing is that good.
Yeah, that's right.
That I was actually praising him.
Yeah.
But she took it totally the wrong way.
I don't think she fell for that one.
No. Now, I just want to ask her.
But she was serious. She was going to barrel you.
Yeah. Tex, do you get your ears from your mum? I mean, she got big ears as well. Or?
No. I certainly do, Ditz.
Tex. Tex, get stuck into him. You should. Mums are out of bounds.
Oh, no.
No,
hang on.
Well, in Ditz's defence, Mum approached him, but she's a fiery lady, Ditz.
Is she fiery, Tex?
Oh, I've been on a couple of.
Has she been done for misconduct?
Oh, a couple of times.
What's she like at the footy?
No, she puts her headphones in so she doesn't have to listen to any.
She listens to Triple M.
Crowd. She does listen to Triple M.
Right.
She'd probably be listening now.
All right, I'll send her some flowers. All right,
just be. That's too far. Just no flowers to my mum, please, Ditz.
Hey, big Texan. A few people wrote the Crows off a couple of weeks ago and said no chance of making finals. 5 out of the last 6 should get the Crows in the finals. But it starts this week against Brisbane, who have won 3 in a row. They're actually starting to look like a reasonable young side, aren't they?
Oh, they're in great form. They've won their last 3, and I think probably 4 or 5 out of some of their past games, they've been thereabouts as well. Mm. So we're definitely going to have to go out there and set the tone and do what we did on Thursday night if we're any chance of winning.
They were very good last week against Hawthorn.
Mm.
That young Hipwood's a good player, isn't he, Tex?
He's a nice player. The boys down back are going to have to be on their game, but we'll do our best not to let it get down there.
Now, Tex, just before you leave us, this annoyed Roo and I during the week, and I don't know if you want to tell us the story or not, but I'm probably putting you on the spot here a little bit, but people approach you all the time, and I know, and I'm being real serious now, because you're a good bloke, you have a lot of fun at your own expense, and you give and you give and you give. And by the way, just on that, I want to mention the video I saw of you online with, what's young Milbank's name down at the club? It's Zach Jacob. Milbank's brother, Jacob. Yeah, it was a beautiful thing, and I mean that. What a great tribute. And and this is a boy with Down syndrome who works down at the Crows, and you did a wonderful video with him last week, so I want to congratulate you on that. But do you want to tell us the story of what happened to you on social media this week or not?
Oh, the Port supporter.
Up at Barossa, yeah.
Oh, a bloke just asked me for a photo and...
And you were out with your girlfriend. You're having a social day out.
Yeah, we're up at the brewery and he asked for a photo and I said, yeah, no worries. And then he put it up on his social media and said a few words that I didn't take too nicely.
He bagged the hell out of you, basically, didn't
Pretty
he?
Pretty much.
So all friendly, comes up, hey, Tex, can I have a photo?
Yeah, so I put it on mine.
And he...
He's the dropkick here, mate, and we all think that. And I don't know if you've taken it down or whatever, but what an idiot doing something like that.
Because, Tex, you do give, and you're a good bloke, and you don't deserve that sort of treatment. So I'm sorry that that happened.
No, that's all right. That's just life, Dits, and these things happen.
All right, well, get yourself fresh for Melbourne in a couple of weeks. I think the Demons come over to Adelaide Oval Saturday week, so get yourself fresh and ready to go.
Take on the Good Things team.
Might be back through the Asana field.
We've got the Triple M Farmer coming on later on, so we'll have a chat.
Hey, good on your Tex.
No worries, boys.
Well done. Hey, Tex joins us thanks to Distinctive Homes, yes.
Did you boys hear about that sheep that fell off the cliff?
Well, no, what happened?
He didn't see the U-turn.
Goodbye,
yeah, boys.
On Triple M's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, Will Anderson will rock you.
Sing it. Will rock you.
Please welcome Will Anderson.
I feel like he's in witness protection, Roo. He's watched the Western Bulldogs for the last couple of weeks and thought, no, I'm getting out of here.
I can't
watch
this anymore.
He's in LA.
What?
Will, what are you doing over there?
Well, look, guys, yes, it's absolutely true. Sometimes you just look at the rest of the draw and the rest of the season and you realise, yeah, you know what, it might be time to go to LA for a while. Look, I've had a great holiday, to be honest. I got Brian Lake to book me a Contiki tour. It's been a crazy time. So I spent some time in a Japanese prison. I've been on Australian Survivor. I interrupted the World Cup final. I streaked with Pussy Riot. It's been a crazy time.
They reckon Lakey's going to be on Banged Up Abroad.
Look, I think Lakey should be on all the reality shows. I mean, yeah, obviously he was on Australian Survivor, then he was on Japanese Survivor, eating exactly the same rations. But, you know, look, I've heard there's little trouble in paradise. I don't wish him ill in that situation, but if it's true he's single again, I mean, move over Honey Badger. I want to see Lakey as the new Bachelor. I mean, get him on Love Island. These are the sort of places you want to see Brian Lake.
Oh, God.
Now, you're in the thick of it right now because, of course, Trumpy and Putin are meeting over there in Helsinki and the rest of the Americans haven't reacted too kindly to what Donald's been up to.
Well, it's fair to say that this has been a very interesting meeting. I don't know if you boys have seen any of this press conference this morning, but it's just absolutely insane. Trump and Putin standing side by side at podiums, and every time Trump speaks... you can't actually see Putin's lips move, but Putin's words are coming out of Trump's mouth. Basically, the CIA, the FBI, the head of the National Intelligence in America have come with a dossier that says, look, basically, Russia has rigged the election. There's irrefutable proof that Russia has rigged the election. Could you please bring that up with Vladimir Putin at some stage? And Trump said he brought it up with Putin. Putin said he didn't do it, and so he's fine with that. Turns out he just trusts him. More so, this is even better, to put a cherry on top, Putin's offered to, if the investigators want to come over to Russia, Putin's happy to get some of his guys to answer their questions. So if they just want to come over to Russia, he will help them with any investigations they have into how they went across.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to have a cup of tea while you were there either, would you? You should be all over Red Rover.
Trump was like, you need their addresses? Putin was like, oh, no, I have their addresses. It's fine.
I didn't really, he was an actual spy, was he? Did you know that?
KGB.
Yeah.
Former head of the KGB. This is my favourite moment in this whole press conference, because you know there's this, always been this rumour of what do they have on Donald Trump. And, you know, the British spy put together that idea that there was a dossier, that there was business deals, and there was one particular salacious element of it, which was the existence of this, you know, possibly pornographic P-tape, right? And there's been rumours of it. It was in this official report. One of the journalists actually asked Vladimir Putin about the P-tape in the press conference today. Fair to say that Putin didn't clear up whether it existed or not. Fair to say.
So he's got photos. He's got photos. So no wonder Trumpy might be a bit of a puppet for Vladimir.
Yeah, I think that what happened on Mad Monday has stayed in Russia, and Putin's got all the evidence. I think the problem was that Trumpy went on a holiday with Brian Lake.
Hey, Will, we'll let you get back to all the fun and frivolity of LA over there, mate. Thanks for taking our call, and we'll talk to you next week.
I appreciate it, boys. Cheers.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Ruined Dits here on Triple M, coming to you from the Gold Coast. Thanks to Phil Hoffman, Travel Roo. Frightening scenes yesterday, in fact, over the last 24 hours in Wallaroo on the York Peninsula. A gunman is on the loose. Before we head over there, let's firstly hear from our Police Commissioner, Grant Stevens.
My understanding is there have been shots fired by the offender and by police officers. No police were injured, but given this person has evaded police, we're yet to have a proper assessment of whether or not that person's been injured. And I'd strongly encourage them not to approach the person, but to call police.
Yep, for sure. Let's head over there right now. Channel 7's Gertie Sperling is on the spot. Gertie, good morning, and what's the latest? What's happened overnight?
Good morning, guys. Well, police have been searching all night for the suspect, but he is still nowhere to be found. Heavily armed Star Group officers have been going from door to door, searching every backyard, every shed, looking for this man. The drama all unfolded around 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon when two officers approached a man that was wanted for a police pursuit. That man then pointed a handgun at these police officers.
Wow.
One of the officers fired a shot, supposedly one single shot at this man. It didn't hit him. He's fled the scene and has been in hiding ever since.
Wow, so they know who he is. Is he a local?
They know who he is. I believe that he is a local. We heard Star Group officers on the Bearcat, you know, that heavily armed vehicle, trawling through the streets with a speaker. They were calling out to him, telling him to turn himself in. They want to try and end this peacefully, of course, but,
yep.
I mean, they also don't want to try and corner this man either and feel as if he's threatened, he's got nowhere to go. So they're still combing through this area. There's around 10 streets that are in lockdown still, and this zone has been declared a dangerous area.
Yeah, for sure. Gertie, I imagine in a town like Wallaroo, there would be high tension. I mean, this sort of thing doesn't happen not only every day, but any given decade, really.
Yeah, for a sleepy little coastal town like Wallaroo, certainly the population's pretty much almost doubled, I think, overnight with all these police officers that are just swarming the town. A lot of residents weren't allowed to return to their home for around 9 hours, so they were forced to go to the local footy club, the town hall, for a little bit. Some became quite frustrated, you know, they were a bit fed up, they just wanted to go home. Others, you know, were a little bit more understanding and said, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. And there's certainly some have been really anxious overnight, as you can imagine, because they've been told to lock their doors, lock all their windows, their cars. Some people were coming home from work, they weren't sure, you know, what they'd left open and where this man could be hiding.
And the original offence, was it just a high-speed chase, was it? Or has he committed another offence before that?
I believe it was a high-speed chase that happened probably almost 24 hours ago now, so around 1 o'clock in the morning. And then it was 12 hours later that police then spotted this man again. I believe they initially engaged in a high-speed pursuit with him and then called it off and let him go, then found him again, and then that's when this altercation has happened and this dramatic incident has just unfolded now. Mm-hmm. We know that they've sort of extended their search too last night. They were looking in Kadena as well, so about 10 kilometres from here, going to a number of different homes, questioning a few people, so possibly acquaintances of this man, as they try and find him.
All right. Thanks so much, Gertie. Gertie Sperling from Channel 7 over there in Wallaroo. And, Roo, to think that also holiday time, school holiday, a lot of people do actually go to Wallaroo to their shacks.
Absolutely. Beautiful part of the state. So let's hope everyone does the right thing and there's no incidents there.
Ladies.
Ruin Dits for Breakfast on Triple M.
We thought you girls were sugar and spice and all things nice.
Ruin Dits Angels.
Good morning, Angels.
Good morning, Ruin Dits.
Righto, who we got this morning, Roo?
We have got Ange, the yummy mummy. Am I allowed to call you that, Ange? Yes, she's usually doing fun. The sleazy stuff. Batesy. Batesy's married to a war hero. Yeah. How are you, Batesy?
Not married.
Not married yet.
You've
married
really
yet.
Stuffed this up.
And we've got Alice, who looks like she's been sunning herself in Europe for a couple of weeks.
Is it fake tan or is it real?
No, it's real. It was European summer.
European summer, righto. Hey, first, speaking of marriage, the first one, Roo, was all about proposals and
romantic dits.
Were you?
Yeah, absolutely. I was in the front seat of Rhett Bigland's car at the Overland Corner pub.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that's right. And then ended up in the back seat.
Yeah.
Once you proposed. I remember now. Yeah. Now, what's happened here? I'm going to play you a bit of audio now. This is Mark Bosnich, very famous soccer player, international. He's over at the World Cup and he's clearly feeling a little bit homesick. Have a listen to this.
Good evening to you from Red Square. And I just want to say to Sarah, my lovely partner, I hope you have a wonderful birthday today. It'll be early in the morning, Monday morning in Australia when you get this. Wish I was there to celebrate it with you, but I'm not. I'm here. And I'd also like to ask you, I think it's quite appropriate right here, a very romantic spot, will you marry me?
Now, he's proposed from Red Square and she's back home. Now, let's go to you first, Ange. Is that on or not?
Absolutely not. It might be romantic for him, but she's still asleep in bed. No, absolutely not. It's got to be face-to-face, in person.
Yep.
That's what it's going to be about. Not, you know, Twitter or whatever.
Batesy?
Chuck him in the bin.
Yeah.
Gee whiz.
Nah. Social media, she's not even there. It's just the worst proposal I could ever imagine.
Yeah. All right. What about you, Alice?
2-0 down, so
you've got one coming soon. Would you like Joel to do it?
Oh, shut up. I would definitely say no to not being together because that is so weird. But also, like, I actually don't like it in public arenas either.
Agreed.
What, just...
I think it should just be two people.
Yeah.
But maybe not in the front seat.
So not in the middle of a restaurant.
No, not restaurant.
What about when we've seen them at a game of football or
It was a test match the other day.
Ange, what about those big public ones? Do you like those or not?
Not for me, but I kind of think they're kind of fun. And for some couples, I think that's kind of cute. If they're into that
just
thing.
Just not you.
I guess no. It's not me.
It's good to look at other people do it.
Yeah, one-on-one, in person, private. It's your own little thing.
I probably would prefer Adelaide Oval to Rhett Bigland's car, though.
Batesy, what if the war hero gets one of those aeroplanes and paints it across the sky?
Oh,
I would die. I would be so mortified. He's been told. There's no way.
What have you told him?
What do you mean he's been told?
I told him that I don't want family. I don't want people there. I don't want anyone looking. I don't want it to be, like, cheesy in a champagne glass. Like, I don't want any of that.
So you're being presumptuous. You are presuming he's going to propose.
You know what I'd be doing?
Yeah.
I'd be out of there. Don't tell me how to do the proposal.
No, because it's so awkward. People are looking at you and you're like, it just makes me uncomfortable even the thought of it.
Don't you reckon you should trust your man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, that he should get it right?
No.
Oh, no, matey.
Oh, bloody bunny boiler,
are you?
Right. Good luck, Peter. Anyway, now, moving on, Roo. I told you a story earlier this morning, for those that missed it, but I was down the southeast over the weekend, four couples together staying in the same place, and we're having breakfast Sunday morning watching Game Day, the Channel 7 footy show. We turn it on, no Hamish McLaughlin. There's a girl hosting the Game Day show.
Yep.
Now, the thing that's interesting to me is, I didn't say anything, the four wives arced up straight away and said, another bloody woman hosting a footy show, what's going on here? And they were outraged by it. And everyone sort of said, who is she? What's her name? And none of us knew her. And that's how the conversation went along. And so I'm asking this morning, is it, and my own wife said, God, this is tokenism out of control, and it's actually taking the women's cause back years and years and years. If you're just putting these girls in there for the heck of it,
you reckon that's what they're doing?
Well, I don't know. But as I said, Roo, I wasn't... I just sat there listening. My interest in this was the reaction. Not one person sitting there having breakfast went into bat for her and said, nah, she's good or she's doing a good job. Didn't even come into it. It was all about, why are we doing this in the world of cricket and football right now? I'm interested to get the Angels' reaction to this morning. Ange, what do you think?
Look, I think if it's the right person for the job, it's the right person for the job, whether it's female or male. But they need to have talent and they actually need to know what they're talking about. So I don't know who you're referring to, but obviously if that person had no talent and wasn't connecting or engaging with the audience, then, yeah, probably shouldn't be there.
Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Mm. I mean, that's a fair call. Batesy, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Ange. I don't think it should be whether or not they're male or female. It should be whether or not they're actually good at their job. But I do think that for some reason, the second a woman sits in a chair, she's immediately canned. Whereas if it's a guy that's new, there seems to be a grace period where it's like, oh, he's new. Maybe he's just getting used to being on TV and being in the media, etc. Yep. But for some reason, the second a woman sits down, she's absolutely sledged before she even opens her mouth and is given a shot, which I don't think is right.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. What about you, Alistair Wagg?
Well, I would probably be just as offended if I got a job. If I found out I got a job just because I was a woman, I would be just as offended. Why are you loving me? Look at you. I would be even more offended if I found out that I didn't get the job because I was a woman.
Wow, you really kick goals.
can see why Alice got this job.
It was makers of coffee, Waggle.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
This has been talked about for a long, long time, Ru. This is massive. The two biggest leaders in the world, arguably, Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump, together in Helsinki for a summit. And gee, the Americans, the backlash against Trump from yesterday's meetings is just incredible. He's been called treasonous. And as I said, in wartime, if you were charged with treason, Ru, it's the worst thing you can possibly be accused of. Channel 7's Laurel Irving has been over there. She's over there in Helsinki covering all of these talks, and we go to her now. Laurel, good morning. Gee, the American public aren't that happy, are they?
Oh, no, and gosh, there were extraordinary comments to make. I mean, President Trump came over here wanting to talk about big issues. He wanted to improve the relationship with Russia, which he saw as too toxic to be helpful, but ended up with just this storm of controversy over his handling of the issue of Russian meddling in the election. Now, Russia's long been accused of meddling in the 2016 election, which saw Donald Trump become president. Russia's always denied it, but then last week we saw 12 Russian spies charged over it for hacking. So Donald Trump had to ask Vladimir Putin about it today. He just couldn't have the summit without addressing it. So he asked him, and Vladimir Putin, guess what? He denied it. Mm. And then Donald Trump said, well, okay, well, you said it very forcefully. So, yeah, look, I've got all this evidence from every one of my intelligence agencies. But he did seem to believe Vladimir Putin over his own intelligence agency. So you're right, he's been called treasonous. People have said it's a disgrace. His own party has said it shows he's unable or unwilling to stand up to Vladimir Putin. Now the Office of the National Intelligence Director has had to issue a counter statement saying, no, look, Russia is still meddling and they are still trying to undermine our democracy. So it's just a mess and all the wrong headlines for Donald Trump coming out of this summit.
So what are they saying the Russians actually did in the election? They got in their hacked computers and rigged the votes so that Trump would win. Is that what they're saying?
So that Trump would win. That's exactly right. And they're accused of hacking Democrat emails and websites and getting some of their data so that they could manipulate it. Donald Trump has always said that there was no collusion, that he won the election fair and square because people wanted him and he won. I think he said today he ran a brilliant campaign and that's why he won. But then to go another step further and say, actually, I believe the Russian leader when he says that they didn't meddle, against the advice of all of your intelligence experts, is a whole other level. And I think that this will cause ongoing pain for Donald Trump.
So if you're Donald Trump and you're sitting there and you've just realised you probably shouldn't have even won the election, how do you keep going at Putin and sort of stand up for what the Americans found? Like, is that a tough situation for Donald to be in?
Well, having watched a lot of his press conferences, I don't think he doesn't suffer any self-doubt about his ability to achieve things, I think we can say. And he has decided that it's very important for the US to have a good relationship or a better relationship with Russia. He says that it's always better to talk to these countries and try to figure a way forward and find some common ground.
And he says you can't be obsessed with the past. You need to, for the sake of world peace and world security, Russia and the US need to have a much better relationship. How he goes forward with this remains to be seen, because anything he does with Putin from now on could be seen as further evidence that he's become too close to Putin and not sticking up for America's interests. So it'll be fascinating to see the long-term fallout of this.
Laurel, just the final word on this as well is that I don't think Vladimir Putin was very smart when he was asked yesterday, did you want Donald Trump to win the election? He said, yes, I did. Now, I think it's probably something you should just keep out of. I know he was asked the question, but just dodge the question for God's sake under these circumstances.
Well, I guess most world leaders have an opinion, but you're right. Most of them keep to themselves because diplomatically speaking, you've got to work with everyone, don't you, eventually?
Yeah.
But just this sticky situation all around. Both very intriguing leaders, and both, I think you would describe them as unorthodox leaders who don't play by the normal rules of international diplomacy. And so we're seeing things that we really haven't seen before in living memory. I think it will continue to develop over the next few months as well.
Good on you, Laurel. Thanks so much for joining us. Laurel Irving from Channel 7 over there in Helsinki. They're different characters. They're loose cannons, I tell you.
Big jobs, but I reckon they both don't mind telling Porky Pies.
No.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Front page of the Advertiser today, Dits. Artificial intelligence may predict cancers.
Right.
They're talking about Adelaide researchers are set to use artificial intelligence to predict cancers in a world first human trial. Now, this is a machine that has gone through heaps of data in the past, I think over 320,000 records, and looked at ways that robotics, I guess, can predict cancers. So interesting stuff if you can do that for many reasons. Obviously, if you knew your life was going to change down the track, you might be able to live your life in a healthier way, say for heart disease and things like that. Or if you knew you were going to get a certain type of cancer, then you could be, readying your body for it, or perhaps get it in a condition to fight it better, or you could even, stop it from lots of cancers are curable. So would you want to know that for sure? Or what if you had a cancer that was, you couldn't fight it though? And you knew
so it was a death sentence.
It was a death sentence, but you're still going to live for another 20 years.
So the clock is ticking. So you find out that you've got a cancer that's incurable, and they say you've got 5 years to go.
Yeah.
Do you want that? Do you need that hanging over your head?
It's an interesting question, because you'd certainly live your life differently. Like, you wouldn't be going to work, and you wouldn't have thought you'd be out, getting your bucket list ticked off, and, you'd be having a lot of fun. Some people would be able to handle it. Some people would send them absolutely nuts. Some wouldn't be able to sleep. Some would hate it. Some people wouldn't want it. Some people would just probably want to live normally and just deal with the last 6 months or 12 months in the way that people live it now, and the prior 4 years would, be normal life. I think everyone would be very different with it, because there are already dits. I think there's tests you can get done for certain diseases or inflictions you can get now a lot of people don't get it done because they don't want to know whether they're going to get it when they're older, because they can't do anything about it.
So you're asking the question, would it change the way you would live? Would it change your lifestyle? I mean, we've heard of people that have sort of had these, epiphanies, I guess, if you'd call them that, these, light bulb moments that go off in their life. Does it really change? Like, do you sort of come home to did you just avoid death? Did you have a freakish accident where you probably could have been or should have been killed and you weren't? And you think, boy, I got out of that one. So do you go home to the wife and say, right, we're going around the world holiday and we're going to buy a Porsche? I mean, you know what I mean? Clearly, you've got to be able to afford those things. I'm using those as examples.
Yeah.
But in your own little way, do you say to the wife or your best friend, right, we're just going to live every day now, or do you carry on as normal? Look, and I don't mean this to be about me, but I can give you... I lost a brother, for example, when we were younger. And what it does to you, Roo, is at the time, I remember saying to my other brother in our family, I said, right, we've got to make every day a win, every post a winner. You can't worry about small things anymore, and you've got to get on with it. And you find that in time, you just settle back into your normal ways anyway.
Yeah.
You know, you just do. Because you still have to be sensible about life. You can't go out and buy that Porsche, or you can't go out and just do things differently all of a sudden.
Yeah, but you also can't squirrel everything away and, you know, and look at that end goal and not enjoy it along the way. And I guess that's a bit of a life lesson anyway. It's no different to, I always look back at sport. You got to celebrate your successes along the way. You can't just have your only a goal of winning a premiership, because you might not ever get one there. So in life, very similar. You got to have your fun on the weekends, and you got to have your fun and celebrate your wins along the way in life. But I've had mates die as well. It does change the way you feel, because you realise we're not all going to live to we're 85 and have a great innings and all of that. People die at the age of 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 from cancers and all these sort of things. So I think I'd want to know, to be honest.
See, going off on a tangent here, you and I have often joked about palm readers and tarot card readers and things like that. To me, I often look at it in a similar way. Why are females obsessed with that sort of thing? Why do you need to know what is about to happen a year down the track, 5 years down the track? What, is it going to change the way you live, the way you approach things? And again, I don't know if I need to know about tragedies or illnesses that are going to come up in my life in the not-too-distant future.
Well, yeah, everyone's different with it, isn't it? Because, you know, if I knew I only had 5 years to live, I'd definitely live my life different now. You know, because you got kids to look after, you got kids you want to, you know, have fun with or whatever. But I know it'd be a burden. You know, you're going to sleep at night every night thinking, I got one less sleep to go. That would be hard to deal with.
Bear in mind, there are people told every day, Roo, that by a doctor, I think you've got 6 months to live, or I think you've got 2 years to
live.
That's right. What sort of conversation is that?
Well, it's one that I haven't had to have yet, but I feel for people who have to go through it, and it's happening, you know, as you say, all the time. But
maybe someone can tell us, what is that like? And it might be your partner or your family member that has been told that. How do you then plan for that? How do you change? Does your life change in that instance? I'd love to know.
133353. Give us a buzz. If you could find out whether you were going to get cancer into the future, would you want to know? Would you want to know you were destined to be able to have to fight cancer?
Or do we just take it as it comes?
133353,
give us a call.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
Just talking about this front page article where they're saying there's
artificial intelligence.
Yeah, new technology that will be able to predict whether you're going to get an incurable cancer or things like that. Would you want to know?
Yeah, would you want to know? Or have you been told that you've got it? And what's that conversation like? Let's go to Norlunga Downs. G'day, Claire.
Hi, how you going?
Good, thanks, Claire.
Now, my husband was diagnosed at Christmas with stage 4 lung cancer. And prior to that, he's 56, and prior to that, he was healthy, he was at work, he had a slight cough, and then we went into the doctors because he was run down, and that led to a series of tests, and about 3 weeks later, he was diagnosed with lung cancer, and it's incurable.
Now, can I just ask an ignorant question here? Stage 4 is worse than stage 1, 2, and 3, I take it. Is that the way the scale heads? Right.
Yeah, that's right.
Right. Now, what was that? Can you explain that conversation to us? You must remember exactly where you were and how you were told. What was it like?
Yeah, because he started off with a slight cough, and I'd been pumping him full of a Panadol cold and flu and thinking he had man flu. So by the time he'd had his x-rays, and the lady sat down with us at the Flinders Medical Centre and said very calmly, "Your husband has stage 4 lung cancer." And my husband didn't understand that stage 4 was really bad. So he was in another zone to me. And I'd unfortunately Googled everything, so I knew it was really bad.
So obviously a horrible situation. What's the prognosis?
Well, he's stabilised at the moment, but every day is a different day. So he can wake up really tired, or he can be full of energy. He's on chemo tablets, might be on them for the rest of his life. He's on antibiotics because you get a rash with the chemo tablets and you get other side effects. But as far as planning your life, you can't really plan anything because you can't go anywhere because you can't get the insurance to cover you if you go overseas.
Right.
So we're trapped in Australia, so we travel around Australia. But I have to go to work because I need the money to make sure I can look after him in the future when I do have to give him, because he's in palliative care right now. Even though he's mobile and life carries on, he's still in the first stages of palliative care.
So you've explained about the fact you can't travel overseas, but Claire, has it changed your attitude on a daily basis to life?
No, it's just made me sad that I won't have him around because he's been with me for 28 years. So I just don't look forward to the future being on my own, and that's changed me.
Yep.
But it hasn't changed my husband. He's like, get on with it, stop your fussing, and just live life to the fullest. So
has he been a smoker?
No, never.
He's never smoked.
Isn't that bad?
No, never.
So he couldn't have changed his habits either. I was going to say, if he was a smoker and he could have this artificial intelligence, say, a few years ago, he would have stopped smoking, surely.
No, and no, he's never smoked and he's been healthy. Not super fit, but he's been fit enough for his age bracket.
Mm. Claire, thanks for calling in and good luck moving forward with both you and your husband. Good on you, Claire.
Let's go to Webb Beach. G'day, Peter.
G'day, boys. I was going to talk about Alzheimer's disease, but I was just, and I'm going to change the subject, and please forgive me, but my stepson was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer 5 years ago.
Yep.
Now, stage 4, I'm not going to go into the stats because I don't want to scare everybody, but just in relation to Claire, do your own research. Do not just trust the doctors blindly. Because my young bloke, he's still going strong after 5 years. Like, if he walked in the door, you would not know.
Is that
right? He's finished a degree, or he's just about to finish a degree. He's moved in with his girlfriend. He's living his life like a normal person. I'm not going to talk about the Alzheimer's. I'm just going to say, don't necessarily accept what the doctors say. Do your own research.
Yep. All right. Well, thanks, Peter, for the optimistic call there. Let's go to Woodcroft. G'day, Michael.
Hello, Michael. We might have lost Michael, I think.
You've got Ryan, guys.
Let's go to Ryan. Ryan at Door Park. Good morning, Ryan.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Good, thanks, Ryan. What would you like to say?
Well, I was diagnosed almost four years ago as a 32-year-old. Never smoked a day in my life. I was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. Seemed to have a bit of a theme going with lung cancer this morning.
Yeah, we do, don't we?
And I guess it's just interesting. I guess if you could, you know, I know there's a lot of testing going, a lot of research happening around whether, you know, being able to test to be able to predict these types of illnesses. But I'm not quite sure whether or not, how you go about it, because you'd obviously want to know if there's something you can do to change the way you're living, to therefore be able to get something out of it, maybe change the outcome.
How are you going, by the way? I mean, this is an interesting topic. If Peter just said his lad's been fine for 5 years, how are you going?
Yeah, well, I guess I've been very fortunate. I've been going on to some what they call targeted therapy, precision oncology treatment. So it's I take a tablet a day, and it's basically, it targets a particular mutation in the cancer cell and it blocks it from feeding. So I've had good results and bad results over the last couple of years. I had to go through some chemo, so I've been down that path. And you know, you wouldn't wish that upon anyone. So at the moment, you go through good and bad patches. At the moment, we're going through a good patch. So you have to just take every day as it comes. You don't think too far ahead, but you get on with life and make the most of every minute.
Good on your eye.
Thanks for your call, Ron. Yep. Let's go to Carmelina. Good morning.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Hello.
What would you like to say? Yep, you're on.
I was diagnosed with head and neck cancer at the age of 45, and I just got all the clear last year. And
How old are you now?
52.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. So 52. You've had it for 7 years.
Yeah, and then I was diagnosed with just last year two meningiomas on my brain, and this year was inflammatory breast cancer on my left breast, but you got to keep going. That's life now. I'm out of control. I'm just under medical.
How do you mean you're out of control?
Well, I can't control it. I'm under the doctor's hands and they're looking after me. I've got great doctors.
Would you have want to known all this was going to happen when you were 30?
No, not really. But when I got told with a head and neck, I just kept going. I didn't take it in until my treatment finished. I had a meltdown. I said, I've just had cancer. I was a mess, an absolute mess, because I wouldn't go to the shops because my face was just disformed. It was just horrible. I just didn't cope at all.
Well, Carmelina, you sound like a nice, positive person
good
right
now,
and you sound like you've been through a little bit. So, Carmelina, stay on the line. I know this doesn't help you in a big, big way, but if we can give you a nice night out and hopefully just a little bit of cheer in your life and take a good friend along, we've got the Red Hot Summer Tour at Seppeltsfield. This is March the 16th through, coming up in a few months' time. But get tickets at Ticketmaster. How's this? Susie Quattro. Can you believe this? The Angels, Baby Animals, Screaming Jets, John Stevens, Moving Pictures, and a load more as well. So, Carmelina, enjoy a night out at Seppeltsfield, okay?
There you go, thank you so much.
No worries. Enjoy it, Carmelina, and all the best in the future.
It's only a small, small thing we can do in with what you've been going through.
104.7 Triple M.
Pressure point!
Ruin Dits. $1,000 pressure test.
Want to relieve the pressure? Come to life at West Beach Parks. Holiday, sport and adventure. Westbeachparks.com.au.
We were saying yesterday, a lot of Adelaide people go to West Beach Caravan Park for their holidays.
It sounds funny,
but it's that good down there.
Well, wouldn't you?
So people from all around Australia, plus people from Adelaide.
Yeah, getting their caravan or their cabin down there and go and enjoy themselves, relax. Yeah.
All right, who you got on the blower there, Roo?
We have got April from Aberfoyle Park. G'day, April.
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Yeah, good. What are you up to today?
I'm off to the Australian Red Cross to donate some plasma.
Oh, good on you, April. Wow. Well done. How often do you do
that? Thank you. Well, you can do blood every 12 weeks, but I like doing plasma because you can do it more often. So I'm really, really excited to be able to help out.
Good on you, April. Now, this is something I haven't heard of before, giving plasma. Can you explain that to us?
Well, I'm B positive blood type, so it's very useful to a lot of people. So they extract the blood and they take the plasma out of the blood and then they give me the leftovers.
Right.
So they keep the plasma, which is a real honey-looking liquid.
Okay.
And you blokes should be doing platelets because only men can donate platelets and it's really helpful to, you know, cancer sufferers and leukemia and that type of thing. So,
well, I've learned something today, Roo. I hadn't heard of that before. Do you still get a biscuit and a glass of milk or something? What do they give you these days?
Oh, absolutely. Yep, they've got Gatorade for you guys. And,
good.
Yeah, they've got Sangers and nice fruitcake.
Paint used to get a beer as well. Don't know if that still happens.
That's at the sperm bank, dude.
Oh, is that what that is? Right. Okay.
Hey, we got Tex Walker's just joined us as well. He's coming. Tex, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, April.
Good morning. Well, good to hear from you. You loved the game the other week.
Thank you.
Right. I'll just take over.
Hey, April, you just confused Tex when you said we should be donating plasma. He thought he was going to donate his TV.
That's an expensive exercise.
He thought it was cash converters or something.
I'm going to go and get me 56.
April, sorry you're dealing with this riffraff here. I'm trying to get you to win $1,000. You're dealing with a couple of idiots.
Righto, April. Okay, so
no,
Tex
I'm a closed supporter, sorry.
Oh, okay. All right.
Sorry,
Mitch. Oh, that's all right. You three talk together then.
Tex is going to be the one that actually gives you your, if your answers are correct here, April, okay?
He's the adjudicator.
He's the adjudicator. You ready to go? 10 answers in 30 seconds will get you $1,000 cash. Give us 10 ways you can eat eggs for breakfast.
Scrambled, poached, in a glass, you know, just raw.
Not rocky.
Let's see, how else do you eat eggs?
Muffin.
Cool, muffin, pancakes, waffles, cupcakes, whole cakes. Easter eggs.
Gee, you're clutching at straws there, April. Hang on. Let's go to the adjudicator. This is Texan. Righto.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Correct.
Oh, bad luck, April.
Bad luck, April.
Could have had him poached.
That's all right. Good luck at the Red Cross this morning, and well done for helping out with that too. And by the way, April, go for a Sunday drive one day with your friend, your husband, your partner, whoever you're with there, and to go to the British Hotel. We've got a $100 voucher for you.
We're down Port Adelaide.
Yeah, it's a beautiful hotel. Great renovation a couple of years ago. Very, very nice, just by the bridge there. And they've got great Sunday markets and things down there. So go down, have a great feed at the British Hotel. And just a reminder too about the West Beach Parks, where holiday, sport and adventure come to life. You go to life.westbeachparks.com.au. Up next, Tex Walker here on Triple M.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7. Triple M.
Roo and Ditz here on Triple M. Coming up in our sport later on, Roo. Big, big story in the world of soccer. We'll get to that in just a moment.
Triple M.
Thank God I'm a country boy.
Roo and Ditz put the bum in Country Bumpkin. So now it's time for the Triple M Farmer.
Oh, last time I saw on the weekend, he's out and about. He's left the York Peninsula. He's travelled down the southeast.
Well, all right.
I wonder if he's still there. Tim Vince, good morning.
Good morning, boys. I'm only down here looking for a bit of rain. We can't get any.
Oh. Right, so it's been wet down the southeast of South Australia, but dry over on the Yorks, has it?
Yeah, very dry. It's wet here, though. Water laying everywhere at Francis. So.
Just on that point, you sound a bit dry yourself.
Yeah, I think you must have punched me in the throat on the weekend.
Oh, no, Timmy. Hey, on the national news last night up here on the Gold Coast showed a farmer over at Cleve, and it's that dry over there. He's been having to hand feed his sheep for quite a while. So there's a drought on in large parts of South Australia, is there?
Yeah, there is, mate. All the agricultural areas are struggling, I think. They're selling about 600 sheep next week just to try and make ends meet. But
600 times 200?
No, about 140, I reckon, we'll get from.
Okay.
But, yeah, we're very lucky that the prices are good because that'll help. But we've got no one's got any feed and the hay shed's just about empty, so we've got to go.
Oh, yeah, doom and gloom again. Now, the reason we rung this morning, though, tell me about this bread situation.
Well, maybe it's because of the drought, but there's a talk that there's not enough wheat and barley around, Timmy, and prices are going to go up. So, therefore, the price of bread's going to go up for the consumers at the moment. Is that right, that wheat prices are high?
Yeah, they are high. That's typical in a dry year. We're going to have nothing to sell, so the prices go through the roof.
Right.
When we've all got plenty, the prices are low. So, they went up about, in the last fortnight, wheat's probably gone up $20 or $30 a tonne. It's close to $300 a tonne at the moment. But that doesn't help if you haven't got much to sell.
That's right, because you can't keep it from the year before or anything like that, can you?
No.
Or enough?
No, not really. No.
So,
tough. But I don't think that shouldn't really affect bread because I don't think there's a lot of wheat in bread, to be honest.
Right.
I know they make flour out of it, but that's an excuse to put the price up.
Oh, right. You reckon they're just taking advantage of the poor farmers?
Yeah. And then beer
unfair,
will go up
it?
Too.
Beer will go
well.
Up?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You might have to sell the Range Rover.
I doubt it. Sell that, I reckon the missus will take off as well. So I'll have to try and.
Try and pin her down,
yeah.
All right, Tim, we got to leave you there.
Hang on, before we go. How'd young Bernard go on the weekend back in the side? He didn't knock anyone over. I spoke to the coach, Simon Goodwin, and he said when Bernie comes back from times later, he gets a little bit feisty. How'd he go?
Yeah, he was feisty, but I did say to him, I got him to wrap a bit of tape around his arms through his test. Just to keep his elbows in because...
keep his wings down.
But he does, as you've said before, though, Tim. He gets it from his mum, doesn't he?
His mother. She's vicious. Yeah.
Especially when you sell the Range Rover.
Yeah, very vicious. We're heading over this week. So I didn't want him rubbed out because that's happened before. We've gone over and he sits with us in the stand. It's a lot better when he's out there.
Big game at Adelaide Oval Saturday week as well,
and
when the mighty Demons come over for the Jack Lever Cup. So
we're preparing for it as we speak. Yeah, why Goody's getting me over this week to get the boys revved up a bit.
Right.
All right.
Assistant coach ready. This week.
Oh, Geelong's just going to be a bit of a blow, you know, get us going, and then
they'll be bruised and battered.
Adelaide Oval. Yeah.
All right. Get on your farmer, Tim. Thanks for that.
Keep your chin up, Timmy. Keep your chin up, mate.
Don't miss a minute of Roo and Ditz for Breakfast on the Catch Up podcast. Selvos and Scrap Hotline have joined forces for the winter warmer appeal. Donate blankets, coats, or beanies to any of the 14 Scrap Hotline sites. Scraphotline.com.au. 104.7 Triple M.